Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was hell or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
It's time to start the show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 192. I almost said 162, but I...
Gonna go back in time.
This is Jorge.
This is Matt.
This is Rhett.
God damn, dude.
It's getting better every week.
Man. Yeah, I think this is my favorite one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it to you again. We've got a special
guest.
You're
gonna make me introduce him.
This is... Hey.
It's, what do you say about Turk? It's fucking... Turk, ink master, famous tattoo.
I would like to think I was a little homie. Famous before.
You were famous before. I've seen all the awards in your bathroom. Like
that's where I like to keep them.
Is that where you put your awards? Yeah. In the bathroom?
There's tons of them in there.
It's and, just all awards. We can't even take a shower in here.
It's to show that I don't take it too seriously. You know, right. What I mean? Like I enjoy winning awards and stuff, but it's like I want you to, you know, enjoy it while you're wiping your ass.
Yeah. He's the only person I disappoint more than my parents. I almost fucking ruined it tonight by forgetting to remind him that the event was
Done.
The recording.
No, whatever. We made it here alive.
I'm tired. Look, I'm wearing fucking sandals and socks, dude. That's the kind of day I'm having. So like, and I smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah, we're a little tired today. We just did Fries and Pints last night, so we're a little bit on the exhausted side.
It's one of the most fun ones, so we didn't actually cut out as soon as we were done. We hung out and
it was also really nice that, what is her name?
Sunny
basically took care of the whole thing for us. It was really cool. Like she had equipment there, so it was really like showed up, did our thing, and then was able to have fun. So it was really cool. Yeah, it
feels good to be back. And we get to do another one.
In February? You already scheduled that?
I have it scheduled, but that's when she wants us to do it. It's February.
All right. Well, I don't want to talk about it too much, Turk, because I'm sure you've been blue in the face about this thing. But you just, an episode ago?
The one that just happened was somebody else. That was the one before that.
Episodes ago, you just got booted off of Inkmaster.
To let you down.
But I've watched the whole season so far. Well, not the last episode because I'm boycotting it now. Just kidding.
Awesome. Hey, it's not the first time I heard that, actually.
I kind of felt like you were treated like a dickhead the entire time, and not metaphorically, but they were treating you as like the dickhead on the show.
It's kind of strange. Like anybody who's been tattooed by me or has come to the shop and has just kind of been around while I'm working or whatever, like I'm not a dickhead.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like I like to have fun and you know, I might, you know, crack a joke here or there at somebody's expense or something, like depending
often
on what's
mine.
There.
Even when he's not around, we're talking shit about him.
Well, yeah, Matt's always, we're making fun of him even when he's not there, but.
I'm a walking punchline. I make fun of myself.
No, but I don't know, man. I mean, like, you know, I messed with Christian, the coach of the other team. I messed with that dude every day.
Constantly.
Like, every single day. But they only, like, the way it was edited made it seem like just one day I decided, you know what, fuck
just
that guy.
Just unload on his ass.
Like, what the hell? I've been messing with him all the time. But I think they couldn't really avoid that situation because he flipped out so gnarly or whatever. But so they had to show it. But yeah, it kind of did make me look kind of like a dick. Like, all of a sudden, I'm just like... Hey, let's poke the old guy and see what happens. But I don't know, man. I mean, like, I feel like when I watch it, I kind of trip out because there's a lot of things that happen that they just don't show. They barely show me tattooing at all. Yeah. You know? And you know, one of the guys was like, you know, one of my buddies who's still in it was like, yeah, they don't show you tattooing because you just tattoo so, like, effortlessly, which was a nice compliment. But it was like... You know, that's not what they want for the show. They want people
like
sweating.
They want drama.
Like, oh, God, I can't make it.
Conflict.
And for me, I'm just like,
they need the drama.
Yeah, like I'm just kind of doing my thing. Yeah, I've been tattooing too long to be spooked by a clock.
Do you feel like Do you feel like the show for you was a net positive, or do you feel mostly like...
No, 100% positive. 100%. Even though I'm bummed that, you know, that I got booted off over Amanda, who, you know, has been like now, like people who are Ink Master, like, you know, wizards that have watched every season and they track everything or whatever. Like, she's the most bottomed like artist in the history of the show, like consecutively too.
Yeesh.
And for some reason, she's still there. So yeah, I mean, I'm a little bitter that I lost to this tattoo because it's a stupid tattoo that I lost to.
Right.
But I still walk away from it going, that was a fucking hell of an experience. And it was interesting. And the flash challenges were more fun to me than anything, because when the hell have I ever spray painted
a storage container,
whatever storage containers, or made something out of fucking electrical tape or whatever? Like, that shit's actually challenging. And it's the timelines are 100% real. Like, it's not like edited to make it seem like it's 6 hours. Like, you have to concept it, figure it out, test it, do all that shit in 6 hours.
That's so, in real time, huh?
That's in real fucking time, man. Yeah. So we are, when we're yelling at each other, it's because we're like, well, dude, we gotta fucking go. You know what I mean?
We gotta get these dominoes up, god damn it.
The tattooing was the least of my fucking concern.
You right. know what I mean? I can see that.
Like, that shit and the flash challenges, all it really does is give you control over who gets to tattoo what. But sometimes that can really be a huge advantage. And the domino thing was fucking bullshit, because those weren't dominoes. They were like painted pieces of balsa wood. That's why it sucked so hard. If they were actual dominoes,
it would have been a different story.
And it wasn't
story.
An uneven fucking concrete floor, we would have slayed some shit, but we just couldn't get them to stand up. You would like get 10 of them to stand up and be like, and then they'd all fucking fall down. That's how
you're like, and I've done it.
Yeah.
It seems really weird that in a show about tattooing, you would be setting up dominoes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the complaint of a lot of tattoo, like, people that watch it are like, what the fuck does this have to do with tattooing? And it doesn't really, but it's still art and it's still fun.
Yeah,
like, what are we gonna do? Let's spit shade some watercolor stuff. Well, all the old school guys would fucking masturbate to that, but yeah. Nobody else is gonna give a shit.
But I guess too, it weeds out a little bit like artists, as opposed to, you know, people that are just there to do coloring book tattooing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like, we, Tony on our team, like Tony said a couple times, hey, let them have their fucking arts and crafts. We came here to fucking slay tattoos. And that's true. Like, I didn't even know it was going to be teams. I thought I was going in there going to carry my own fucking weight. Now I got to fucking carry Austin and some of these other people who literally don't know shit from shit. And so it's like, you can lose as a team because somebody on your team doesn't know what the fuck they're doing.
That's gnarly.
Right. So it's like, you know, the flash things, like, as much as they really don't have much to do with tattooing. It's just to kind of like give the viewer some shit to kind of root for or whatever. And then the tattoo is always just going to come down to who's the better tattooer. The flash challenge only gives you like one little advantage. So,
all right. Well, is there anything coming up at Left Hand Black that you want to talk about before we move on to?
I don't think so, man. I mean, like, we were going to try to do some, like, end of the year, you know, cheap stocking stuffer art show where everything was going to be super small and whatever. But with the filming of the show and other crap that's, like, kind of stuck in the middle and the holidays and stuff, it just wasn't enough time. So we're just kind of kicking back,
cool.
Dude, and kind of enjoying not having to do a lot of shit.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So, all right. Getting to go to movie premieres.
Movie premieres.
We'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah.
Matt,
yeah, buddy.
Have you watched anything since last show?
When was the last show?
Last week. I don't know, dude. It's a fucking blur right now.
Right. Everything the last 3 weeks are just all flipped upside down. I don't know. Like, I've watched some shit, like some garbage stuff, and I don't really remember much of it. So it's nothing
notable.
Nothing of note.
Right.
I did start watching that Netflix show, Sick Note. The one with the dude from Harry Potter.
Well, Ronnie started watching that.
It's pretty fun. It's kind of fucked up.
What's the premise on that? She tried to explain it to me, but
the dude is basically like a fucking loser and a compulsive liar, and everything starts falling apart around him. And then he gets a diagnosis from Nick Frost that he's got cancer. So then, like, everybody kind of gives him sympathy, and like, he gets to keep his job because he's got fucking cancer.
Yeah.
And you find out, like, almost immediately that the doctor's an idiot and he fucked up and misdiagnosed him. but he's fucked up a bunch of times, so he's going to get fired if he fucks up again. But he also needs everyone else to believe he's got cancer so his life doesn't fall apart. So they agree to lie together and...
That he still has cancer.
That he still has cancer.
I like that. That's a good premise.
It's fun. Like, I'm only two episodes in.
Dark.
That's cool.
Dude, that's the good shit. It starts out as really, like, fun and quirky, and then it gets dark as fuck by, like, the end of... like, it gets dark as fuck by the end of the first episode.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
All right. Well, that's it, basically, then, right?
I can't even remember what I've watched, dude. Like, I wrote it all down somewhere, but... It's Turk, probably with the Santa Slay DVD.
Anything that you've watched lately that would be of note besides the house that Jack built?
You know, I kind of went back through and watched some of the earlier Lars von Trier stuff before this one.
Nice.
Just so I could kind of like brush up on some of it. Yeah. I watched Antichrist again. I watched Nymphomaniac, stuff like that. So nothing like really crazy. I kind of don't want to start another something right now. Like, you know what I mean? I don't have cable or anything. So yeah, I'm kind of just like whatever's on my Netflix. People were telling me to watch Black Mirror. I haven't watched that.
Oh, that's a great show, man.
See, that's what everybody says, but I'm like, I'm hesitant because it's like sometimes, you know, people tell me, you should get into this. And I'm like, I start it and I'm like, I hate your guts, you know? But yeah, I mean, not much, man. I mean, I'm too busy.
What are your feelings on the earlier Lars movies?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I think Antichrist is probably my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's just so like, I mean, you know, the start of it all, like the kid and all the stuff, you're like really kind of like puts you in a real fucked up emotional place to where you're kind of where Charlotte Gainsbourg is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just her portrayal of this heartbroken mother and stuff, like you really kind of feel bad, you know? And like little things kind of happen to where you're like, what the fuck is going on, you know?
That's pretty par for the course for Lars von Trier,
I would say. Then like, dude, man, as soon as it turns, you're like, this is the fucking gnarliest thing I've ever seen, you know? And so like that, I think is kind of what I measure all of his other works based off of or whatever. And so, okay. Yeah, I mean, that's my favorite one.
All right, well, we'll talk about...
From the very start of that movie, you see like full on penetration. And I was watching that movie at work. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like,
put your hand up.
And then I was instantly like, wait, is that Willem Dafoe's actual dick?
Did you have to Google
it? Like, I did. I don't think it was. I don't think it was.
Stunt dick.
Yeah. I thought he liked dudes. Isn't that real?
I mean, yeah.
I thought he was gay.
Any port in a storm. Are
you fucking a woman?
He's thorough. I mean, like in Nymphomaniac, like Shia LaBeouf is actually boning that one chick.
Is he?
For that one scene.
Yeah, I think that is correct.
They're getting down. Yeah.
They are getting down.
It's method acting, like you said.
Yeah.
What about you, Rhett?
I just want to... There's that part in...
Yeah, Chaos Reigns.
Chaos Reigns.
That's when it fucking turns upside down. Like, that shit was great.
I love that. That is exactly when it turns upside down. That's why I was like, okay, I'm fucking really on board with this guy now.
Yeah.
For sure. Now I get you.
Now I'm in.
Yeah, Melancholia I like a lot, too.
Melancholia is a great film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually some, I don't want to say accessible, but a little, you know, it's a little more, it's not quite as fucking like, you know, what's the word? It's a little more accessible, I'd say, than Antichrist, you know.
Anyway, my thing with Melancholia, though, is that I wish he would have gone a little bit more like Alfred Hitchcock, and you just kind of see it coming the whole time, but they never actually show it.
Really take it there.
You know? Like, I like when Hitchcock used to do that. Like, you know it's coming, you know it's coming, and then it just fucking ends. And you're like, what the fuck?
And you know? Yeah. Oh, you must love all these elevated horror movies then.
Some of them, man. I don't know.
It's like it comes at night. Like, you're like, it's coming. Oh, it didn't come. Like,
yeah, it's like edging, you know? It's
Hey.
Yeah, but then you're doing that intentionally. Like, if somebody else is doing it to you, that's a whole other thing. And, like, I'm not into that.
Yeah, but see, remember the last time I was fucking here, we were talking about Blair Witch.
Dude.
Which was, like, it's coming, and then it came, and we're like, that's what you fucking...
That's what we were waiting for?
That's what we were waiting for?
It didn't... Weird, it just, like, dribbled out.
Stupid. Yeah, it was like, you waited too long. Now it's syrup, you fuck. Nobody wants to chug syrup.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. What's your list, dude?
My list. I'm anticipating this year end thing with you guys.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to rewatch. Maybe I rewatched Mandy and I rewatched Annihilation.
Okay.
Did you really need to rewatch either one of those?
I fucking do that.
I know, but like too, in preparation for an end of year episode.
Yeah.
You rewatch movies you've seen like six times already.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you know how you feel about him.
But check this out.
You got to watch all the dumb shit that you haven't seen. Watch Anonymous 616.
Watch Truth or Dare.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be
if you're going to put together a worst of list, those are very important.
You can't just have best of.
You have to have a worst of?
Oh, yeah.
That's the whole deal.
It's fucking easy because the majority of the stuff we watch.
Oh, you haven't seen a lot of the shit that we saw before you started. Well,
I
just got here.
I can only go off the start date. See, I can't go, go back retroactively.
But you can.
I can.
I'm watching all kinds of dumbass shit that I haven't wanted to watch.
Anonymous 616. That was a trailer.
That's gonna be in my top three.
I did go and watch something non-horror related because taking full advantage of that A-list thing, and I'm just a general movie
buff. Here's your weekly A-list plug.
Here it is.
I saw A Star Is Born Again.
I saw that three times. Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Ah, how was that?
It was fun.
Yeah?
But it was also, taking it for what it is and all that. It's fine, perfectly fine. But it's like 2 hours. So this thing hits a 1.5 hour mark, and it's like, okay, cool, we're about to wrap it up. And then this whole fucking 30 minutes goes on, and it's like, by the end of it, you feel kind of like...
exhausted.
Angry at Ralph.
Yeah.
Fuck Ralph.
Well, I don't, I mean...
He's fucking shit up, now he's breaking the internet.
But it had a...
Just fix it and go, come on.
It's got a I'm doing a...
It's going to be
marks.
Syrup here.
It turned into syrup, exactly. The last 30 minutes did not... I'm not saying that the last 30 minutes aren't particularly bad, but it's just like, it's too much for the subject matter. But it has a good message with the quotation marks about codependency.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, that nice. It was all right.
I haven't watched a fucking thing, so we can move right along.
That's what you saw, dude.
What's that? Anything in the news?
They're making a Mandy 8-bit video game.
Good.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
No word on when it comes out, but there's a bonus stage with the Cheddar Goblin. So
I'm in on that.
I think you just walk around eating mac and cheese. I don't know if you ever played Parasite Eve back in the day on the original PlayStation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just got trademarked in Europe. So there's a lot of like nobody knows what it is yet, but they're speculating that it's going to be like a reboot, since you know all these games that are 20 years old are getting rebooted.
Mm-hmm.
I actually loved Parasite Eve. That was one of the first like really story immersive games that I ever played. It was the first time I ever heard the word mitochondria. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that means, but I'm into it. Like, yep, that's actually what they call it all the time, the fucking powerhouse.
The powerhouse of the cell.
Yeah, that's the mitochondria.
So that might be getting...
the midichlorians?
Well, I was going to say, and that's where that fucking word comes from.
And then there's a new update for Dead by Daylight coming out that's got like a multiple personality type killer called the Legion.
Okay.
And it's kind of like Ghostface from Scream,
mm-hmm.
but it also looks like an anonymous fucking dork. But it's got like multiple personalities.
Oh, the Guy Fawkes mask.
Yeah, yeah. So, but when they change personality, their mask changes and like their movements and all kinds of stuff are different. So I haven't got a chance to play it because it's only on the beta development, but it'll be out, I think, next week or in 2 weeks.
Whatever happened with the Friday the 13th game? Has anything else...
After the lawsuit?
With the copyright stuff?
So they can start working on the game again, but Gun Media had said that they weren't going to do anything new at all. And there's a lot of speculation that they weren't going to even like fix the stuff. They were basically going to move on completely from the game. I have heard that they've been working on some stuff and putting patches through. Like they finally did dedicated servers, but I don't think it really helped anything. But people are still playing. And I played it, maybe 3 weeks ago, and it's still really fucking fun, but it's just really hard to get a game, you know? Dead by Daylight starts up in like 30 seconds and you're sitting right in a lobby for 5 minutes, 10 minutes to get a game going.
Yeah.
But still fun.
Well, you've got kids, so I know you're not playing video games.
No, but I get to hear the guys at my shop talk about them all the time. So
God damn, dude.
I watched a couple of videos of like the horrible things that you can do in the new Red Dead Redemption or whatever.
But, oh my God, that game.
the growing and shrinking horse testicles.
Yeah. I didn't know that one.
Yeah, when it gets into the cold, like the horse's nuts shrink up.
What an unnecessary thing for hey, the you know what?
It's detail.
Somebody, yeah. Somebody worked on that, dude. Somebody
there's
went
like
home.
A video, though, of like a dude that like goes to the woman that's like trying to talk about women voting and stuff, and like he just like lassos her and like brings her out to the swamp and like feeds her to crocodiles.
That's awesome.
And, like, puts her on the train tracks and lets her get killed by trains, or like. So, like the dude even like scooped up a black dude and like took him to a Klan.
Oh, the Klan rally thing.
I was like, oh shit. What the fuck is happening in this game, dude?
That Klan rally is actually really funny because if you just let them do their thing, they end up catching themselves on fire.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing, like the video I saw, like one of them catches on fire or whatever, and then like the guy keeps trying to push the dude closer to see what's going to happen, and they end up killing him because... You're probably just not supposed to fucking do that.
Right. So, you're not supposed to be able to bring a black guy to a Klan
rally. You really
rally.
Shouldn't be able to do that, but...
It makes a good case for
if
like
you're
going
to make
world.
Balls go up and down, man, I mean, you can take somebody to a Klan rally, I guess. Fucking fuck.
Balls
that's
going up and
that's
down.
That's probably the first Klan rally in a game, I'd imagine.
I would think so.
I don't know. Let's investigate.
You think there's,
we'll
you think there's other ones?
It depends what you define as a Klan rally. Is that what you're going?
No. I just don't know if there's any other.
I was kidding.
Oh, okay. I don't think so. Yeah. As far specific. As I know, the Klan has never emerged in any playable type of way.
Ninja Gaiden, there is a Klan rally in the first level.
What?
Is
when
there?
When you hang on the sign. I'm just kidding.
Oh. No.
I was like, get the fuck out of here.
I was totally buying it. I'm like, what? Yeah, tell me more.
I did that pretty dry. Then.
I want to see the fucking Klan rally, Ninja Gaiden.
Did you know the word gullible is not in the dictionary? Look it up.
Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about the house that Jack built. Bitch. Bye.
I talk about it all the time. I have no issues with that.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, buddy.
We're back, dude. Can I ask you a question?
I'm sure I know what it is.
Go right ahead.
Patreon.com are the people who get pie at Frights and Pints. Just saying. But you can go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast and you can help us keep the show running by replacing equipment and all the fun stuff that we get to do that costs money that we don't have because we have jobs and... babies and
families
drug addictions
and
things like that. So yeah, go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast and you get an extra episode every month. You get exclusive content, exclusive merchandise, all kinds of other fun stuff. And when we have Frights and Pints, you get to eat my fucking pie. I made pie just for Patreon.
Both the food and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
PieEatersClub.com.
Pie Eaters Club.
But if you don't want to do the monthly subscription thing, you can go to whogoestherepodcast.storeenvy.com and buy a shirt or a mug or whatever the fuck. I don't even know. Inflatable pools. I think we have those now.
Do we?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
They just have like the logo at the bottom.
I want one.
Yeah.
Summer's not here
but... Who Goes Their Podcast spelled out in shit. Except it looks like Baby Ruth's.
Nice. All right, well, the Who Goes Their Podcast watched 2018's The House That Jack Built, directed by and written by, well, he did the screenplay, directed by Lars Van Trier and starring Matt Dillon, Bruno Gans? Gans?
Yeah. Gans.
Uma Thurman. Oh, fuck this one.
Uma Thurman was in this?
Beginning.
What?
She was the first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She looks weird now, you know?
She got something done.
Her and Rose McGowan.
Well,
because
she got screwed up like in an accident or something. So she
From like Kill Bill, right?
Weinstein.
I think that was an extra thing. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of names on it. I'm not even.
McGowan connection he just mentioned. I see what's going on here.
Oh yeah. Man.
Yeah. I'm not even gonna try to say the rest of these names. It's a movie.
It's a movie. And people are in it.
Yeah.
You want me to start? I'll start. Since I saw this movie on Wednesday.
Yeah, let's start with you.
I've been trying to jack off and pat myself on the back at the same time to see how Lars Van Trier does it. I can't fucking do it very good.
Yeah, you can't pull it off.
That's
very
all
well.
This movie was 2.5 hours of fucking jerking off and patting himself on the back for doing it. Like, it had that bullshit where it's like, people are walking out of the theaters because it's so fucking disgusting. You know who walks out of theaters for movies like this? Fucking snowflakes. That's who.
We had one guy walk out of our theater.
Did we?
Oh, yeah,
we
it was did. One old guy in like the mid.
He was right behind me, actually, because I was like, I heard some commotion, and then I heard some old guy go, "This is fucked up."
Dude, and then he just walked out. There was one scene where I'm like, oh, that's kind of, no, but that's not what that is, you know? And like, but it was in there, like in a Serbian film, just for shock value, I felt. Like, maybe it lent, and we'll get into it, but maybe it lent to an idea, but ultimately it was just there to be like, oh, look how fucked up this is. That's right. It. I didn't like it. I was fucking bored.
You didn't like it.
I was eye-rolling Alia for 2.5 hours trying to stay awake. Rhett saw me adjusting in my seat so I wouldn't fall asleep.
I could see you eye-rolling through the back of your head.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking jackpot. Ling, 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 ling,
ling. Alia, Alia's that on your shadow on the sidewalk thing, dude. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Go back to art school, dork.
Yeah, yeah. Go back to art school, dork.
Hey, wait a second. I didn't go to art school.
What about you, Turk?
Oh, man, this one was tough for me, too. I got to say, like, I think it was the dialogue that was starting to kill me. Like, just scenes that went on way too fucking long. Like, you're right. The whole chalk kind of like casting a shadow kind of thing. I like the parallel that he was trying to make trying to explain like his sadness and his anger and how it moves around. But I don't need the fucking like visual interpretation of it to accompany that. Just like I don't. Like, you can show me Matt Dillon in the van, like, picturing in his head that, holy shit, there's blood under the lamp. How the fuck did I miss that? And he keeps going back and back and back and back. And you go, oh, shit, this guy's got OCD. And then they cut to a scene of Matt Dillon holding a sign that says, OCD.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I don't. Okay, like,
look, listen. I got it.
I am an artist, right? I do tattoos for a living. I talk people out of doing the literal all the time. You're here to get the artistic interpretation of something. You don't have to also get a banner around it that says, in loving memory of my mother who died of fucking dick cancer or whatever. You don't have to do that.
Yeah, Angela. Like,
imply it. That's what fucking art is for. I'm there to watch this movie for you to imply. You could have shown him running back and forth 1,000 times and I'd be like, this dude is out of his fucking mind.
This is great.
Yeah. And it would have been funny. Yeah. But as soon as you show him holding the sign going, meh, this is what you're looking at. I'm like, you think I'm fucking stupid?
Well, he also literally like says at one point, like, I'm an obsessive compulsive. And it's like,
100 times.
And that's the other thing is like the fact that they were putting this shit in there to be funny. We'll get to you. Like a lot of this stuff felt like it. I mean, it's supposed to be a movie about a psychopath. Like, why is there this comedy? Breaking it up.
Brett, what'd you think of this movie?
I fucking was pretty fascinated.
Of course you were.
And it broke. And like everything I'm hearing, it he's not an idiot. He doesn't think you're an idiot. He thinks most people are idiots, probably, and he's right. But
does he think that we're idiots?
Does he think he's pretentious? Because he's definitely pretentious.
Not this table, but everyone else.
There's rules that you're not supposed to do if something's art, and he's like, here, I'm breaking a rule, and it will piss you off. And it's like, oh, I'm pretentious. It's like, okay, yes, I'm pretentious. And next. The movie, it's not like a movie. I couldn't say like I liked the movie, disliked the movie. It was a really interesting movie to me. I saw it once. I think is one that would like, I'd be interested to see how it holds up over a few years. Like the shadow thing, like, yeah, I think there's worse things than being pretentious. I really do. We've watched a lot of shitty movies that don't try anything. There are a few moments of this movie, even if there's just two moments, like, it's almost 3 hours. There's 2 or 3 moments in this movie where I felt actually kind of transcendently like transported beyond the fucking theater. Mm. For brief periods of time. If I have 1 or 2 moments in a 3-fucking-hour movie, if I was rating this movie on some... This isn't a movie I would, like, feel comfortable rating on a scale. If I did, I'd be forced to give it, like, 2.5 out of 5. It bites off more than it can chew. It throws a lot of shit at the screen. Most of it doesn't work, et cetera, et cetera. But then Matt Dillon's performance is pretty fucking solid. The movie's all fucking over the place. It feels like a very... When we got out of the movie, I'm thinking broadly. Like, he's talking about, like, the whole species, blah, blah, blah. I think he's talking about his own fucking artistic process, which isn't like...
Back to the pretentiousness that you're talking about.
And it is... Well, what does pretentious mean? Pretentious means it's pretending to be more important than it is. Everything is fucking pretentious. The fucking sun's going to explode, and none of this is going to fucking...
Okay? Damn.
We got well, 5 billion years for that.
That's where the movie's coming from. That's where the movie's coming from, and that's that movie.
Well, okay, so hold on. Okay, but so you were fascinated by the movie, but you're not sure if you liked it.
And you're not sure that it's good, it sounds like.
Not only, there were parts that I didn't like. There were parts that I felt very, very affected by.
Okay.
You get what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
It wasn't
you.
Like, I like this. It wasn't some like, oh, that feels good. It wasn't like...
So
like,
it's transcended rating for you.
Then no. As a piece of art, though, then it did its job, right? Because like, if I look at a piece of art and I don't feel angry that it sucks or amazed at how beautiful it is or violently disgusted or something, like, then I feel like it didn't do its job as a piece of art.
Yeah.
So if you felt moved at all, well, then cool.
I did. I also don't think he should write dialogue, so I agree with you guys on that.
And I don't think that narrator should fucking speak dialogue either.
I didn't like the narration.
Yeah.
By the end of it, though, I realized it's like he's trying to work out his own fucking... Those are... He has these... He understands these propensities in himself as a man, like misogyny, blah, 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 blah. Like, ooh, I know. No one here has any propensities except me, but anyway. And then, so, no, exactly.
I got tons of them.
Exactly.
I'm all propensity. What are you talking about?
Well, that's what I'm saying. But also, you have that internal voice, which is like, that's disgusting. What the fuck are you thinking? Et cetera, et cetera. And that's that, there's that narration.
So,
that's
it seems to me,
which I have to admire. I'm sorry. Like, I'll fucking say that is kind of, it doesn't work all the time.
It seems to me like you like the concept more than the actual execution, but the concept's enough for you to be like, I like what's going on.
It's fucking ballsy, dude. All
right. I can dig it.
A lot of it's trolling.
I'm somewhere in between because I wanted to chop about an hour out of this movie
at least,
and I think with maybe the theatrical cut we might see a different film altogether.
You think they'll cut out all the bullshit?
I think they're
gonna cut out the kid scene. That's what they're gonna cut out.
If they cut out that kid scene,
I guarantee you that's the only part that's gonna be missing.
That was impactful as fuck for me. See, and like I was trying to find meaning in this stuff, and like I think
at the end of the day, there is no meaning.
I'm trying
not to
use spoilers yet, so...
It's like revolving around that meaninglessness.
That's why I just said the one thing. I didn't want to go too far.
Yeah. Kid thing. Yeah, we'll go spoilers in a minute.
Because this is going to come out before the movie is actually released.
If it comes out, did you read the article about that?
I did.
They might have gotten in trouble with the MPAA regarding it. Yeah.
But like, I don't think they're going to...
Nah. Don't pay some huge fucking fine and be
the MPAA is a fucking joke anyways.
Like, well, they've been a joke since day one.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting that it's still fucking around and still calls shots on anything.
Yeah. It's weird that happens, man.
I mean, I don't
there's a lot of shit that's like that, though. You know what I mean?
So everything in America is like that.
Yeah.
Well, everything. So it's not weird.
We live in a society.
Well, now that there's Netflix, now that there's the internet, I mean, obviously internet and all that. I mean, the kids don't need rating systems to look up Pornhub on their phone.
Right.
So it's very antiquated.
And how?
It's very.
Yeah, my kids are getting jitterbugs.
Like every kid growing up thinks that
big numbers
every kid growing up thinks that every time people have sex it ends with like a facial, you know, so that's like that could be a good thing for future generations. Is that not true? Dude, it's crazy, dude. That's what I'm saying. That's fucking great, though, right?
I know it's not true. That's
straight to ass eating after fucking first date.
It's 2018.
I know.
That's first date stuff.
Like ass eating is second base now.
Yeah.
Is that what that means?
We go from holding hands to ass eating. That's how it works now. Yeah, I mean, I think I liked a lot of what happened in this movie, but as a collective, I thought it was kind of a pile, honestly. Yeah. And I'm interested in watching the theatrical cut to see if maybe it doesn't take out some of the stuff that I had issues with. Like that whole Lars breaking the fourth wall stuff in the middle.
Showing his other movies?
I was like so out on that. Like,
that was...
Wait, okay, so those were...
Those are his movies, yeah.
I thought so.
That's where, when you were saying pretentious, I was like, 100%, dude. Like, look at all this other art.
He's stroking himself on the back the whole time.
That art that I just showed you? That's mine. Yeah, I did that.
Yeah. Willem Dafoe, he was in a movie.
Yeah.
My movie.
My other movie.
Remember when I broke his dick?
Yeah, that was
great. That was my movie.
It spurts blood jizz, too. You gotta watch.
See, that fucking stuck with me. Nothing in this movie is gonna
stick with me. No syrup there.
I mean, that scene with the kids might stick with me, because that was... Yeah, actually, that face...
Let's go spoilers. From here on out, spoilers. Because, fuck, dude, I want to talk about the stuff that I really, really loved.
Well, okay. Before we do that, like I wanted to point this out to you guys and hear your take on it because
yeah, George.
George, God, give me a second. Trying to make syrup here.
No, okay. There was no high five.
Yeah. It's a good. We're getting syrup. Scissor. Hey guys, we're getting syrup. Let me throw this one.
Let me throw a rope at you.
Yeah, let me Peter North this real quick. No, but
lots of raw celery.
I felt is that the key?
Is that what it is?
It's one of them. Raw celery. He always attributed it to lots of raw celery.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You just got to put peanut butter on that shit. I'm like,
what time is it? Are the stores still open? How quick does it work? No, the I kind of felt like it was like maybe Lars watched Bronson. Like
some Nicholas I felt like there was a, stuff.
I yeah. thought there was a little bit of Bronson in there in that sense where it was like it was being narrated by the dude. It wasn't
nearly
going.
As fucking awesome.
No, not at all. But that's what I mean.
And there was nobody like, that was whooping I feel ass like butt Lars naked. Von
Trier, like saw that fucking movie and was like, I could fucking do something like that. Watch
he could,
this.
He couldn't.
Like I couldn't help but feel like there was a little bit of that like going back and forth, like paralleling the time, like to show like. This is in front of the time while the story's still being told. I mean, remember he said, you know, he's like talking to that narrator dude or like not narrator, but that other fucking voice.
That's at the end, yeah.
No, but it's happening through the whole movie.
Right.
And then in the middle of the movie, that same dialogue that they started the movie with starts over.
It catches
up.
But
now he's with that guy. And so that's where I was like, oh, I see what you're fucking doing. This is like some memento fucking.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, I have a thought. That the stuff, I mean, obviously this probably isn't too much of a revelation, but I think that like the scenes that we do see aren't in order. Because there's
he says they're not at the beginning.
Yeah, he says they're completely random.
Oh, you
which,
know what,
like,
you're right. Okay, so maybe I'm not as clever as I thought I was.
He's like, I'm just telling you about these events.
Which again, is self-referencing, like, oh, look, I'm messing with structure. Ooh, because that's things that artists do.
Exactly.
But right. See, that was the thing.
And he's saying, look what I'm doing. Look what I'm
look
doing.
Look at me, I'm an artist.
Right?
Yeah,
he's German. Patting himself
also,
on the back.
Dude, can we, I know what you're, I know.
That's all art though, dude. That's our whole history is patting himself on the back.
He did this little like
I had a kid.
This little intro to the movie where he talks about the bravery of watching this movie and then he drops this never another Trump and I was like, holy shit.
Did you hear him?
He's a provocateur, dude. He's provoking people.
But it's completely unnecessary too. Like,
I mean,
fuck yeah.
Well, I go to movies to not think about fucking the politics, right? And you're like, hey, here's some fucking politics right before my movie.
And then right after
as
that,
if, like, as if the actual movie wasn't.
I honestly, when they were showing, like, okay, spoiler, right? When they were showing some of the fucking like stock footage of like Nazi shit and stuff like that, I was like, it's gonna fucking turn into like Trump shit.
I bet you know what? I bet he Fight Clubbed us. There's fucking frames of Donald Trump in there somewhere.
You might be right.
Donald Trump's dick is what it is.
Just
I want to see that.
This lumpy orange dick.
Apparently, it looks like Toad from Super Mario Brothers. It's a big old mushroom head and a tiny little dick.
I would not be surprised.
He's like a fucking tuna can.
Yeah, you can imagine my horror when I heard that Toad was trending. And I'm like, why? And it's like, oh, because that's what Donald Trump's dick looks like. I'm like, I have a Toad tattoo.
Oh, you've got, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, right there.
Hey, when you mentioned,
I got it at Left Hand Black.
Hey-o!
Sorry, before I freak. When you mentioned Bronson.
Yeah.
Because that movie, I mean, thematically, that one analyzes that fucking intersection between crime and art also.
Yeah.
All right.
And it does it flawlessly. That movie is fantastic.
I love fucking Bronson.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even Bronson's a much better film.
Sure.
To me.
Yeah, yeah.
Another movie I thought of though. I'm glad you mentioned it was American Psycho. Cuz it's got that narrator thing. It goes off the rails in its fucking third act. It's this character that you hate but you also like kind of like
root for him.
You root for him running with the chainsaw and the fucking running shoes do you like Huey Lewis in the News?
Well, Patrick Bateman was more infinitely more likable than this fucking guy, whatever his name is.
For whatever reason.
Jack.
I mean,
because
Jack.
He had a personality.
I can't come up with a good reason.
Because he had a personality
of the movie,
and he was completely like
well, that's
his,
what I
his
mean.
Whole life was making himself perfect and palatable to other people. Like, and that was the thing was Jack wound up just kind of you see at the beginning, he's just kind of cold from the beginning. But Patrick Bateman has formed himself to be likable. He wants to be the best. He wants to be the top. But he
can't contain the fucking sickness that's in him.
The beast, yeah.
Feed me a cat. Right.
Well, whereas, I guess I see that parallel, especially when he was putting up the pictures of different faces next to the mirror and trying to mimic them and stuff.
Whereas, again, that's a much more accessible movie than this. It doesn't fucking just throw everything at the fucking wall. This one, like, you know. This one shows pictures of architecture while it's talking about architecture. Yeah. I mean, it's like,
again,
that's a rule.
That's
you don't
me
do that.
Saying, like, you don't have to be so fucking literal with your art.
Which I think
it I don't
was
need it, like,
on purpose.
My favorite painting in the world is Lament for Icarus, right? Like, I mean, it's a fucking beautiful painting. I've stood in front of it at the Tate in fucking in London and just in fucking awe, right? I mean, it's the most beautiful thing. Should you put above it, don't get too close to the sun, motherfucker. No.
That's like, kind of like,
you don't need to do that.
It's like meme art. That's this movie. Yeah, it's like, hey, look, there's a guy playing piano.
Oh, shit. That's fucking good, yeah.
When they show, no, well, I'm not saying it's good.
But you know, I'm saying that connection that you made, that's a good analogy.
I think it's very modern.
And I think for you, that's more enjoyable. Like, you're like, yeah, yeah.
You're all about memes.
Yeah, well, because it's fucking, he's like troll. I feel like I'm being trolled and I like it. I'm like, yeah, dude, yeah. Yeah, we are stupid. You're right. That's cool. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. No, because he shows the guy.
Well, I don't think that we're being trolled. That's the difference. Like, I do think you're right in his meme art, but I think that he thinks, like, oh, these guys are never going to get it. But us, like, we're sitting there watching it going, I get it, motherfucker. Do something else. Yeah. This is like me watching Brokeback Mountain. Yeah. Like, please fuck again. This is boring.
See, and for Red,
exactly,
I think,
that's why people walked out, was because they were fucking bored. Yeah, it wasn't because they were shocked and disgusted.
I'm a cop. I don't have my badge. I don't, but,
yeah, I'm like, nope. What is this? Like me. Some Laurel and Hardy shit? He's like very like,
yeah.
I felt like David Lynch to me right there.
But
that's why I like that.
You're fucking, oh, your husband. Yeah,
I'm perceptive,
now.
But yeah. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
See, and that's okay. That's the thing. If we're getting into spoilers,
yeah,
now, the thing I wanted to bring up was that he said that these incidents that he's describing are random, but to me, I kind of felt like they were all significant milestones in his killing experience.
Yeah, because none of them were like, oh, I had a cup of coffee. Well, it was always him doing next level shit.
The first one.
Because he's like, I didn't know how to fucking strangle somebody first time.
I feel like I was trying to put in shit that wasn't there. Because, like, I feel like this movie's supposed to be deep, and I feel like it's very, like, superficial in what it is, and I'm just reading shit into it. But the first one, he's trying to be nice to this girl who's apparently Uma Thurman for the whole thing, even though she's fucking insufferable. And to me, I thought maybe this was his first, like, kill out of anger, you know, like out of frustration, like I just can't fucking take it anymore.
And also that the thing about that whole scene was that, like, he's doing this thing where, like, oh, Uma Thurman's gonna be the serial killer, like, oh, here, like, this movie's really gonna subvert expectations, right? And they're like, oh no, it's literally doing what we were hoping it wasn't going to do.
Well, and then the second one, I felt like he was kind of getting, like, the lust a little bit more. So it was the, you know, the one with he's the cop, and it's just like, he's trolling, like just trying to find somebody random. And then the third one is like, he finally kills a kid. And then the fourth he kills somebody he loves.
Like, okay. So double back to Nymphomaniac, right? So it's kind of like, when Van Sant or whatever is like explaining how to make the lures and things like that. It's like, so it's like the first one kind of just gave him, like, he might have caught a fish because out of fucking anger, right? This next one is like, he's starting to kind of figure out different lure sets and stuff like that. Yeah. The process or whatever. But it's like, you already fucking did that in your other movie. Like, just do the fucking.
Yeah. What's the narrator, the therapist in Nymphomaniac?
No,
I honestly don't remember. Like,
no, what's his name?
Lars,
not Van Sant. What the fuck? I'm.
What's his name? You're talking about the blonde guy,
the dude in fucking Nymphomaniac. He was in Melancholia as well.
He was the.
He's got a like a Swedish last name or Swedish or Finnish last name.
I'll look at it.
The fucking blonde guy. He's in the fucking Avengers.
The one of the dickheads in True Blood.
Skarsgård.
Stellan Skarsgård.
There you go.
So,
and his son is fucking Pennywise.
Yep.
One of his sons, anyway.
One of his sons.
Yeah. And the other one is in the new black metal movie, fucking Lords of Chaos.
Oh,
with
yeah.
With Macaulay
yeah.
Rory Culkin.
Can I ask a question?
It's pretty good. Pretty fucking good movie.
His third event.
The kids
and the mom.
Yeah.
What the fuck? How did he manage to get those three people there? Wait, see, you shake your head, and you're going
to
tell
Kevin,
me.
You're going to be like,
it doesn't matter. The art speaks for itself.
Well, that's not what I'm going to say.
But see, I don't.
That's not what I'm going to say. But it's not about the logistics.
It's not about what it's about.
Well, it's not.
It's about what it's not about.
Remember when he's talking about culling and he's talking about fucking all that? That's what it's about.
But the thing is, to me, it takes.
But they really left out a huge.
To me, it takes me out. Yeah. It takes me out at least. Are these
it's not
the
about
place.
Narrative?
Are these his
that's
kids?
A, that's a
because
voice.
That would be even more fucked up.
See,
for
dude,
me. Like
it's
that would
art,
be
so
worse.
It's not supposed to make sense. It's just doing whatever, and he's trolling you. That's the thing. Like when you use the like. This is
if
just,
you don't like it,
this is just this
you,
is
you
me being.
You can't analyze it for linear sense if it's not for that.
No, I don't even need
it's
it
not
to
for
be
that.
I don't need it to be linear. I need it to be like how this asshole convinced a mom and her two kids to come out with his guns to a.
Do you
fucking
know how long it takes? Like, I know a lot of like I have tons of clients that are like single parents and stuff, and they're like, "Dude, I mean, I date dudes forever before they ever meet my fucking kids."
Yeah,
and
especially
because someone can take you to the forest and shoot you to death with a 700.
So yeah, to get to that, I'm thinking like, what? How did this fucking emotionally stunted asshole get these?
So, man, I just objectify it differently.
So
people do shoot kids and they shoot their wives and their
children. That's not what we're arguing.
No, like, I know, but that's what I'm thinking about when I'm watching that scene. That's
no, but George, but
there.
George is like, how did he get to get close enough to these people to bring him out? So there's two things. One, if you use the umbrella of art, you can just present shit, and it's like it's art. You don't fucking get
it. You don't get it, dummy.
But yeah, well. Like.
I don't necessarily feel like that,
but I think maybe like Turk said, there was a big chunk left out, but maybe it was like one of those things from Dexter where he realizes that he's a fucking psycho and that's why he's doing the facial expressions. So in order to be a more normalized part of society, he's forcing himself to have like human interactions. And he's like, you know, well, that's the normal thing, right? To like have a fucking girlfriend and like have kids. And you know, that's, I'm going to be a normal person. Like I need to present this fucking disguise so nobody finds out that I'm actually a psychopath. And he gets close enough to this woman, and it was under the guise of a picnic. Like, I don't know if she knew about the guns. I don't remember that.
I think with this guy, it was more about subterfuge. Like, he wasn't trying to, it was about self-preservation too, because unless you disguise yourself, you're not going to stick around in this society. The other thing was about fooling people though. Like, when, remember the bullshit line he was giving the lady at the house that he strangled? That shit was
I'm
fucking
a cop.
Hilarious.
Yeah. See, well, that to me is
trying
like
to be as tedious as possible,
and that's what I mean. Like, I don't know how that person is able to convince a mother that, like, yeah, let's fucking go. This is great. Yeah, this fucking psychopath.
Yeah, because he would have had like a really long regular relationship with her to ever be like, yeah, let's go out into the middle of nowhere with your fucking guns.
With your guns. Multiple.
And my kids.
Multiple guns.
She, you know? She knew about the guns, right? Because he pulled it out, and it's like, you can touch. See, if it was just under, like, we're going to have a picnic in the meadow, like, I can understand it. But as soon as he brought out the guns, it's like, oh, that's weird. But he even had him put on the hats, and it's like, oh, don't want to get shot.
By the way, very clear
the MAGA
hat. MAGA hat thing. And I was like, God damn it, dude. Like, I don't necessarily like.
Well, see, you put that on there, though.
See,
I
didn't see it. I was just thinking, like, who the fuck wears red hats when they're hunting and not like reflective vests or you know?
Well, I mean, but have you ever gone hunting or
I
ever
have
done
not?
It? Yeah, it's all orange all the time.
Well, it's orange or like something that distinctly separates you from what you might be shooting at. You know what I mean? So you're like, you see something, you know, like. You see things that make imprints and you go, oh shit, I think that's something. And it's like, no, there's nothing like red and upright in nature.
You mean
you
other
know?
Than a cardinal?
Well, no, I just mean like if you're like walking around, you see something, you're like, oh, that's one of ours. You know what I mean? So,
I don't know.
You know what?
But yeah, I mean, there is a parallel there too. Like, cause, my wife said that same thing where she was like, oh, of course the fucking red hat.
Yeah.
Like is the guy that shoots everyone down, you know?
Well, and then those scenes reminded me the most. They reminded me of a non-horror film, which was fucking Schindler's List, when they have Ralph Fiennes' character doing target practice in the morning and shooting random people that he sees sitting around in the fucking yard. That's what it reminded me of. So I'm like, I'm sorry. When I'm looking at the movie, what I'm saying is I don't relate to the line of thought. I'm not trying to, when I shake my head, I just don't relate to, that's not where my head was. My head was like reflecting on, what we do as human beings and our history and the propensities. And also, have you ever fantasized about shooting people in a sniper tower?
Every day.
There we go. That's what it's about.
Especially children.
Well, okay.
You said that on the fucking, well, on the internet right now. So that's not, you know.
Here's my rebuttal to that.
Is personally, no.
I would not have drawn that conclusion if he didn't start the movie by saying, never again. Another Trump.
Well, see, and like, I think that's something that only we're going to get. Like, I think when this movie comes out on the 14th,
it definitely won't have that.
I don't think it's going to have a scene at all.
It's not going to have fucking Matt Dillon saying stick around till the end, implying something good is going to happen at the end.
If it doesn't have the kid scene on the theatrical version, then all of the weight of this movie is instantly gone.
It has to, at least.
They're going to cut it then a different way.
Because if we don't get
probably the boob being cut open.
If we don't get that little kid's face being fucking being positioned.
Jokered out in that Joker.
I couldn't help myself, dude. I was dying laughing.
Every time we were cracking up. Every time they showed it, even if it just like passed by, and that little scene,
he's just
like,
standing in the background.
I was just like, why are we cracking up at it?
Because it looked,
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying. Because
it looked goofy. Because
it looked goofy. Yeah.
They're going to have to leave that in there, at least implying that he killed the kids, because that was a whole act. And through the whole movie, they're like, oh, there's five acts. So
yeah,
they have to have that in there, whether or not you see the little kid's leg get blown in half, which like,
to me, that was probably the most like violent part of the movie.
To me, the kind of violence like, we haven't seen very much, if at all. Seeing a kid,
you know, seeing the little red mist out of getting shot in the head or something. We've seen that in all kinds of movies, but this like, and I'm a father of two boys, so I'm like watching this dude gun down two boys, and I'm just like, oh shit, like wow, same.
Like
holy fuck.
When
it was that slicing of the leg, like he just dropped
when he's
him
running
like,
and just hits the ground like a sack of potatoes.
Off, and I was like, holy fuck,
we got a lot of that going around.
But I remember having that same nervous laughter when I saw fucking Willem Dafoe's dick get smashed with a fucking rock. So he's good at getting those scenes.
It's funny that you mentioned like having kids and kind of being like, yeah, it's funny. Like, I think that before I had kids, I think that probably would have been a little bit more effective to me. But now I'm like, I can kill a kid in a movie. I don't give a shit.
You're like, well, if he didn't quit running from behind fucking rocks for no goddamn reason.
Didn't use the zigzag pattern.
Yeah.
You got to run in
your
a Z,
your mom didn't
stupid.
Teach you to fucking serpentine. Right? That's your own fault. Yeah. You can thank her for your missing limb.
Right. Fucking dangling limb.
Yeah. Now you don't even get the fucking pie.
Nope.
That's why you need to be a Patreon. Right?
That bit, dude, where she like has to try to shove the pie in the kid's mouth.
I was telling Crystal, I was like, I would just be like, dude, just shoot me in the fucking face. Right? I'm not gonna feed pie.
Why does she listen to him? It's like, does she really think that she's not gonna be murdered? Because like, he just killed your kids despite your screams. He doesn't give a shit what you think.
Yeah.
Feed the fucking corpse some pie.
And he proves that over and over again that he does believe he's above like any sort of authority, you know. He's screaming his head off in an apartment complex, screaming his head off.
Well, he tells the cop everything that woman just said is true.
Yeah, like everyone in this movie is a fucking moron.
Well, and also,
he says that in the beginning.
He's making a point there about justice in the universe.
That's just Lars von Trier projecting that
he also
thinks he's
says
so
that
much
in the very beginning of the movie. Jack does say that when he got away with that one thing or whatever, he started to believe that there was a higher power watching over him, and that he was completely like never going to get caught.
But also, I think we have to realize that. I think the stories are being told from Jack's perspective. So everything is going
to
be like, look at how fucking...
Jack's explaining it
Look at how badass I am.
From like, a narcissistic...
He's explaining it to the ferryman, basically, who's taking him to hell, yes.
The last guy who will listen. The guy who's taken to the depths of hell.
But like,
which I forget the name. I know the Greek Greek mythology is like Charon.
Charon, that's it.
But I don't know the biblical name of that guy. But that's the guy who crosses you over sticks.
Oh yeah, from fucking Unfriended Dark Web.
See, what?
Uh-oh.
The Charon. The
boat. The boat.
Tying it together now.
Bodie McSkullface.
That's what it is.
They have a parallel narrative across several films.
Is there a Christian version of the ferryman? The
ferryman? Because you cross the River Styx.
And, I guess it would be like Peter.
You're at the gates of. No. It's a person.
In the Apocrypha. Do you know what the Apocrypha is?
Yeah.
It's the books that were not. That they didn't put in the Bible. They have a thing where Jesus has a descent into. The Christian underworld.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very similar thing, like the myth of the. So it's an archetypal journey. It's about going and fucking into the subconscious. You're going
But I mean,
he's
more
going inward to get to the depths of.
Well, and he talks about the negatives and stuff. It was always the light, but there's a darkness there, and blah blah blah.
William Blake,
like, the darkness of the light, and things like that. Yeah. I mean,
and the need for savagery as well as innocence, and how they're both necessary.
And like he's talking about, I brought you to this lower level, but you're actually up here. He's making a toss back at Dante's Inferno and the seven layers and stuff. It's like it's all very multi-layered in that thing. And you know, having read a ton of that shit, I understand. I just don't remember the.
And also, I think that
it doesn't make the movie automatically good. But
the stuff that Jack talks about when he's talking about like he loves seeing what the negatives look like as opposed to the actual picture when he sees like the actual like demonic dark in the light.
Light.
Like that to me, that was one of the scenes that I was like, okay, there's something really brilliant here.
Yeah.
But you know,
but your fucking like Sesame Street sidewalk chalk fucking thing like doesn't need to be there to like break it down to me. Like I don't need that. I'm smart enough to where you can just kind of give me those little glimpses and I can put that shit together or hear him saying that exact same thing. Like while showing a fucking montage of him like gouging people's eyes out or doing something fucked up, that'd have been infinitely better than this fucking haphazard fucking like.
Collage.
It
is like a collage movie. Yeah.
See, I'm usually.
It's
not
what
smart
I like to call a yard sale. It's a fucking yard sale. There's a little bit of everything in there. It doesn't mean I like everything that's here.
Some Troiska doll.
But I'm
fucking
here
movies.
Anyway because I like tchotchkes.
I was kind. I was ready for a fucking movie. I hadn't felt this way in a theater really like that way since like Tree of Life. Terrence Malick.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that in a
theater? Yeah, that's that. It does have that same kind of like, you're in it, you're like, okay, well, I don't know, but all right, I'm here watching, I'm good.
Right. And that movie, I mean, that movie's like lauded with acclaim. This one, at least, it's very divisive. Like, I used it before, but it is though. The critics are not loving this either.
Well, and I think
it's like, you know.
There's going to be a lot of people who want to say that this movie is good because they want to act like they get it.
I just don't want to feel stupid 10 years from now. You know what I mean?
That's exactly. Yeah. Dude. So like, you know, right now is where you draw your line.
Really? I'm not going to remember this movie 10 minutes after we finish this episode. Like that's how out of my mind I want this movie.
For sure.
I think, and this is me, you know, putting future Jorge in a trap. But I think I want to watch the theatrical version of this just to see what the differences are.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I feel. And then sort of see if, like, if we remove a little bit of Lars from this movie.
Very self-indulgent
movie. If it doesn't make it a little bit better. Because honestly, I think that if you take a lot of the self-referential stuff out of it,
you didn't appreciate his 10 minutes of Hitler appreciation?
See,
or his 10 minutes of Lars von Trier appreciation?
It's 2.5 hours of Lars.
Yeah, it's almost 3 hours, man. Great. I do want to, I think I do want to see it just to kind of experience what everybody else is going to see and then compare the two. I think it's...
I'm interested in seeing the theatrical version only because I want to see like what constitutes his director's cut versus what made the other thing.
I mean, I think
not because I think that it'll be some monumental change, but I'm more like, oh, really? They took that shit out? Why?
I think Rhett's right. They're gonna take off like
the boob cutting.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that in horror movies.
I was like,
but
we've seen that
in this, combination but this, with the other stuff.
Yeah, this isn't one of those kind of horror movies. Like we did Headless. Or maybe it was Found, one of the two.
Yeah, it's too highbrow to not get that kind of attention.
Yeah, like that.
Or
that is
pseudo highbrow, whatever. I don't want to say it's highbrow.
That is unnecessary to tell the story that he wants to tell,
yeah.
I think. I mean, not to tell the story
the kid scene has to stay. I think that he's going to be like, all right, I'll cut to an R.
It might be watered down. Like he might
say they might water it down.
So like he might not shoot the leg out, but like the kid might be like laying down and he gets the last shot on him, you know?
Well, they might show him firing and then you don't hear the sound of running anymore. You know, they'll imply it a bit more.
Because like he blew that one kid's fucking face off. And then when they're like in the freezer and it just shows or not even in the freezer, but like when they're doing the picture. Nick and he's got like the kid's head missing. I'm like, yeah, that's an ashtray for a head.
There was a good bit when he's dragging the body of the van with the van.
Oh, that was I mean, that was brilliant. I love that.
And the face was completely fucking rubbed off.
Yeah,
like you know, so I wouldn't be surprised if maybe because that's the kind of shit they cut out.
See, but do you think that was
kind of goofy shit?
That was intended to, like the face being gone? Do you think that was intended to be funny, or do you think that was intended to be like, oh man, look, I dragged her fucking face across the concrete?
Don't get mad at me with my ass. It's like whatever you want to do, it's open. Like at the beginning,
it wouldn't seem so fucking goofy if fucking Matt Dillon wasn't such a goddamn goofball in the fucking movie. It would have been an entirely different movie if you had a dude who was just like.
They preface,
you know, like, well, yeah, but instead you got a guy who's like, well, oh shit, here's her fucking
head. Oh shit.
I don't think Lars von Trier is a kind of director where
Lord
he's trying
alive.
To, he's well, not yeah, trying
the,
to.
The whole cop scene like didn't fit in with any of the other stuff that he did throughout the whole movie.
Yeah. There's someone make the case that like, someone make the case that the best kind of art is stuff where it allows you to interpret it for yourself. It's not telling you how to feel. Most movies are very fucking on the nose, like, feel this way. Listen to the music. It's sad. This is supposed to be sad. And it's like, let's be virtuous and point out how bad this is. This is not that movie. I don't think Lars von Trier is that guy. He's like, if you want to laugh at this kid getting his fucking in the freezer, if you want to laugh at this kid with
go for
he
it.
Knows everyone he's laughing did.
Right. And so, and he, I think he understands too, this is like on the nose, but it's, you know, supposedly a fact. Laughter is a defense mechanism. Screaming is a defense mechanism. The line between laughter and screaming is pretty fucking thin. They preface the movie, Matt Dillon, beginning of the movie. He's like, if you feel like laughing, I'd say please do. If you feel like screaming,
when that
I
was
think
a line
should.
Out of the movie too.
Right.
When I forgot which, I think it was when he was killing the girl he was into. Yeah. It's like, you know, if you feel like screaming, I definitely think you should. And like, I didn't hear anybody
profound,
screaming in this movie. On. Like, I heard a lot of people laughing.
I mean, they
laughing.
Showed it at fucking, like, all this fucking hype about it or whatever comes from Cannes, right?
And it's the worst.
These are French
man.
People.
Yep.
They're very sensitive
French
fucking
critics.
People, you know what I mean?
Well, so, and this comes on the heels of him making some statements about Hitler.
Yeah.
So that's why he made then make the statement about Trump. He's really he's provoking people.
Well, and you want to talk about fucking trolling. Like he's banned from Cannes for saying that he sympathized with Hitler, and then it's like, okay, well, I'm going to show a movie at Cannes. It's going to be out of competition.
It's Cannes.
Cannes.
No, you don't say the S.
You know, I'm from America. I will say Cannes. I'll tell you what. I don't fuck with the devil. What is this shit?
I don't fuck with the devil. That's right. That stupid ass last night.
But that's the thing is like, so he gets banned from the fest. And so he's like, well, I'm going to show a movie there. I'm going to put like a 10-minute Hitler appreciation thing in it. And he fucking pans it off like Hitler's an artist. But then they're doing the whole thing with like the 6 or 8 people with one bullet. And it's like, he's just fucking jerking off Hitler at this point. And maybe he's trying to, fucking troll people like you said, but.
Well, speaking of which, the bullet, the 6 people with one bullet. One of the things we come in, you guys, I don't need to preach to the choir. You guys started a horror movie fucking podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, you dig this shit, okay? Hold up, bro. And
I could have seen
it,
him shoot,
I just don't
want
to be a hypocritical fuck. Yeah, I wanted to see him shoot those people with one bullet. We didn't get to see that. Now, see, that's what I'm saying. That's what the movie, we talk about, like, if a movie has fucking innovative or creative kills or not. That would have been a very creative thing to see. I thought
it's already literally been done before, so it's not that creative.
Well, I saw it in like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade when he like used one bullet and like it killed 3 dudes.
Yeah,
I had to do that in Call of Duty. That was an achievement.
See, and that's what I mean. Speaking of which, earlier when I was asking if people have fantasized about, you know, which is a fucked up question, and they're gonna be like, no, no, and play Call of Duty all day. Bullshit. You're a fucking liar. Like, yes, you do.
Yes,
you simulate.
It's
like they'll be like, "Well, that's not real." It's like, yeah, that's why it's called fantasizing.
Yeah,
it's simulation.
I think okay. So to go back into that scene where he had all the people lined up, right? Like the Asian guy who was like nailed down, and there's like some famous like actor from other like horror movies, even though he was like in fucking Old Boy or like some
the Asian guy.
But I cracked a joke during that scene because I was just, it went on way too fucking long or whatever. And I was, our guy Mark, who was with us, you know Mark, and I was like, should I eat a cuttlefish? And fucking, we were like cracking up.
Well, dude, that whole thing,
like when they, yeah, does the sweet cream or the cuttlefish? You're like, okay, I eat a cuttlefish. So anyway, fucking, like to me, like I was definitely like, yes, are they gonna do this? But then when they showed the actual house made out of bodies, I was like, I don't give a fuck about that anymore. I wish they would have shown, honestly, all the fucking times that he went back and forth to that goddamn fucking freezer.
Oh yeah.
Why weren't they showing him making a house of fucking people?
I think they kind of implied that he did that in like an hour.
That's what I mean. All of a sudden, the fucking weird Swiss German fucking hell dude is there.
I don't think
and I build a house out of bodies.
I don't think that the body of house of bodies was real.
No, I know. Was. But when they showed it, like, okay, so whether it was or it wasn't, because it was there, I started saying, fuck, I would have bought half the shit that you were trying to sell me if you would have just showed him every time he fucking kills somebody, brings him back. I need a roof for my fucking house.
Okay.
And he's fucking like,
I would have been into it then. Because like,
that's his weird OCD thing.
Like, I don't know, man.
Remember the card. So, OCD, fucking whatever. Like,
okay, so on the OCD, house. I mean, the house is, or the movie's called The House That Jack Built. And the whole movie, he's talking about building this house, his perfect dream house.
And it never fucking works.
So I thought he was going to have bodies in the walls because he had like these.
You're saying he would have let the bodies hit the floor?
No. The bodies would have been the floor. Like, that's the thing.
He had these drawings of his blueprints, and there was outlines of bodies.
And I'm like, oh, he's going to, like, the bones to his home are going to be literal bones. And like, then in the end, he fucking makes this.
Yeah, like kind of edging it and kind of like.
But I was mad. I was so pissed. I'm like, that's the fucking house he built. That's what I was waiting for. Like, I thought he was doing something with these bodies. And then it's like, you know what? My dream house is actually a shoddily thrown together house of bodies.
I think it looks like that bullshit house at the Children's Museum downtown.
Got him.
It's like this. The movie that Lars built. That's what the fucking title of this movie is. He haphazardly, he couldn't find a third act.
Haphazardly is not the word.
Right.
Well, brother, if you got third act problems, you got first act problems.
Okay. I do. I'll acknowledge
Although
that.
Although half a hazard.
I thought it was like half haphazard. Like a pharmacy, like a pH. Haphazard. Okay, cool.
What's the other thing that you can't pronounce properly?
Well, now I do. It's coven.
Coven.
That was right. Good.
There was another one, too, that was in that episode.
But yeah, I think the third act of the movie goes off the rails, and like at the last minute, him having like this.
The third act of the movie has no rails. That's the thing. Like it's completely like, get out.
That's the part, though.
Go.
Which is like, in the few days since watching it, you remember when they have him, like, it's like one of those romantic classical paintings, and he's like standing on there with the fucking on the boat with the other dude guiding him through hell, and it's all slow motion. Like, I don't know. I think about that. I really like that because it's almost like he's talking trash about fucking romantic paintings. He's like, what the fuck isn't self-indulgent about all this classical art? It's like, oh, well, it's beautiful and you can't talk. He's like, yeah, I can. This classical art is fucking ridiculous.
So in other words, he's
also
like, how can I be more edgy? How can I piss people off more? Yeah. Let me insult.
It's totally that movie.
Let me count the ways.
Let me just poo-poo.
He doesn't want to just. Yeah,
it's like if he would have stood there and been like, professional wrestling is fake. Yeah. That's what it was like he was trying to do, but I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit about art. So like, for me, I got nothing from this. I didn't get the violence that I wanted. I mean, like there was violence, but it's like
there wasn't enough.
Yeah,
or there was enough, but there was just so much bullshit.
For as much controversy behind this movie, it's really kind of lightweight. Yeah. Like to me,
you guys are right. It's the kind of violence, the kid thing. That kid thing is the controversy to me.
No, to me,
like,
I think
you ever watch. It was like, the duck foot that channel.
That was the one scene for me where I was like, oh fuck! Like, and, okay, maybe they're establishing that he's been a psychopath this whole life because he's a kid and he's got the whole harming animals deal. But like, it really felt that like they put it in there just to be like, oh hey, look, oh, cut off a duck's foot. What are you going to do? I'm fucking Lars Van Trier. This is art. I'm fucking wacky.
But that's like shock value, right?
But that's the whole point. Like,
what's wrong with shock value?
But it felt, but it shocked, felt unwarranted and unnecessary. Like in a Serbian film, like we've talked about a Serbian film. I was going to
say, a Serbian film is a great example.
You take out the baby fucking and it's a competent movie. It's good, but that baby fucking scene is just there to be like, oh, look, we can say this is the most repulsive thing that's ever been filmed. Because I mean, like for a lot of people, that is. But when I watched that movie a second time, I'm like, okay, well, it's lost all of its impact.
Yeah, without that, I mean... And you know, we're talking about that movie now.
Yeah.
But without that baby scene, that movie is literally nothing. It's a snowball. It melts under any scrutiny. I kind of feel the same way about this movie. Like,
wow.
You know, if we're talking about like, oh, this is one of those movies where people walk out of the theater and they were throwing up in the fucking seats. And I go, really? Who the fuck is watching these films? Like, right. Honestly, like this is
French people.
This is literally like, if you've been watching horror movies the last decade, any of the stuff in here is not effective.
But that's the thing is, can't Hans isn't a place for horror movies. You're not going to show fucking Hatchet.
Would argue that this is not a horror movie. Personally,
I mean the fact that
this is self-masturbation.
Did I just fuck you up right now?
It's fat fodder.
I'm just kidding. I was totally kidding.
I was going to say like my definition of this movie is like when you like you have that channel like on
I think
your
it's a deconstruction
cable that has films. Like actual fucking hardcore porn on it, and you're like watching it, but like right when the dude pulls out, it like fades to black and like cuts to the other scene. Yeah. That's what this movie was for me.
Oh wait a minute,
it never fucking nutted.
Like, it's all fucking no movies. Cum.
It's turning into
Jinx
fucking
me a blowjob.
You guys remember when
pinch
at
poke,
the beginning?
You owe me some coke.
They
said,
Jesus.
Oh, sorry.
You really took
my
it
friend
there.
Tiffer fucking taught me that one. Anyway, fucking no, I mean that's what I think. I'm like, all you did was make me fucking make syrup. You fucking. What is he, German or Swiss? Which
he's
one is he?
Danish. He's from
Danish.
Denmark.
Does that mean he's Dutch?
Sense. Yeah,
it's like
are
Dutch.
Danish
David,
and Dutch
the fucking
thing?
Dutch.
I don't know. Who cares?
Or I'm fucking Metalocalypse. Fucking Swissgar used to be like. The Dutch.
Dude, you know, the more I think about it, like the stupid fucking light post shadow thing is a perfect analogy for my feelings about this movie, because it's like I'm here, I'm indifferent, I'm at the start, and then like my boredom starts fucking growing, and then I get to the middle point,
and
then
your
my boredom fades and my anger grows, and then they fucking kill somebody, and I'm like, okay, I'm back at one again.
Dude, he got
I'm
you,
fucking,
dude.
I'm just right Bottom. Here, and then it's like, oh, I'm getting dude. Bored again. Now I'm getting fucking angry again.
You just found out that you love this movie.
No, I fucking hate this movie. It made me bored and angry.
It only took Sesame Street to teach you that.
Right?
That's what I, you know what? In fact, that's what I was trying to tell you. Like, it reminded me of those cartoons.
One boring
hour. The Sesame Street cartoons.
Two boring hours. Dude, and being the director's cut, I had no fucking idea how long this movie was going to be. Like, I'm like, shit, aren't director's cuts usually
like
3 hours?
5 hours?
It's a two movie split. And I watched both of those and I enjoyed both of them.
Yeah.
This movie. Hot garbage.
At the beginning of the movie when he says, make sure you stick around until the end of the movie.
Oh, he fucked us.
Why? Because nothing fucking happened at the end of the movie.
So I have mixed feelings on that too, though, because I was like, was he fucking with us? Because there was nothing.
I think it was basically calling people a pussy. Be like, you know, if it's going to bring about emotion, stay.
I think it's
experience the emotion.
Was he referencing the fucking people that were walking out?
I think so.
Listen, just stay to the end. You'll see that it's his own arrogance that fucking.
I thought it was him saying, like, it may be pretentious, but don't worry, there's a really solid payoff. It's all going to make sense. No, it just fucking gets zany. He's just like, oh, chaos reigns? What was that? I heard it. Nothing makes sense anymore. Dude, like, did he fucking get shot by the police? And so when he jumps in the sewer, is that when he died? Is when he fucking got shot?
I don't know
what the fuck happens. Because suddenly he's in the sewer.
For him to be like transferring over, like getting closer to pandemonium or hell or whatever, like he has to be dead.
Yeah.
So he either shot himself or got shot by the cops.
Scene with the wacky hijinks trying to get the Full Metal Jacket bullet, I was like, what? What movie is this from?
Unnecessary.
All of the comedy was ill-placed.
And that's where I found a little bit of American Psycho in that, where he's like, fucking, you sold me the wrong shit. And the dude's like, you haven't been here in like forever. And he's like, I was just fucking here.
Right.
Like, I felt a little bit of American Psycho in that sense where, remember, he's like calling people and shit, and they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, sure. You know,
you've never been here before.
It goes yeah. Like
or
extreme cognitive distortion realm.
Sure. Like that. And I'm okay with that. But I don't need you to cut to a scene of him holding a fucking sign that goes, what the fuck's going on?
Is that what happened? Because
he holds it up, cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
Wait, is that what happened in American Psycho?
For I am retired.
It was always explained to me that it was like, not like a secret society, but like a secret society where they were covering up for him because he's the rich power elite. Like,
no, it was like
he was actually fucking crazy.
The end of the movie, it's kind of like none of this might have actually happened at all.
And it didn't, but anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all in your fucking head.
I apparently have no idea how American Psycho
was. He didn't try to feed a cat to an ATM. None of that happened. He didn't stab a homeless man. He didn't do any of that shit. It's all in his fucking head.
Or did he?
Wait. I'm sorry. I'm being really literal here. It didn't happen. It doesn't matter.
I always thought it did, and like they were covering up for him.
It's a fucking movie.
That's the best part.
But no, that's the fucking worst part. Like, I don't want to have to think for myself. I want you to fucking tell me what I'm doing.
It doesn't have to be wrapped up for you.
At the end of the movie, fucking Dylan, he's like, I went to hell and I'm in level 4 right now.
I want you to take me on a fucking
journey. Well,
why not? They did it for everything else.
There's enough movies like that. Almost every movie wraps shit up in a fucking bow for you, dude.
No, you know what?
There's enough movies like that.
That's irresponsible is what that is.
He said that last
That's
week.
Irresponsible.
This irresponsible fucking
you know
word.
Why? Because, like, I'm expecting you to take me on a fucking journey. And if you're just like, you're like, yo, here's a couple drawings on a piece of paper, like, figure it out. Like, I don't want to fucking figure it out. I want you to take me through the highs and the lows.
I want you to tell me what my mind moves are saying.
Yeah, don't leave me to my own fucking devices. You know why? Because my devices are clouded in weed smoke.
Because I'm wearing a shirt that says hot rod, and so go fuck yourself.
You respect Rowdy Piper, damn it.
I do too. You be careful with that.
I can think of you've got to like some movies with ambiguous endings.
That probably
dude.
Not.
Like I'm a huge David Lynch.
He fucking
fan.
Died.
No, like, yeah. Why is he in the picture? Yeah. Why is it?
I don't need
the
you to fucking put a bow
from
on it. I'm okay with it. Before. David Lynch can fucking do it.
Yeah.
See, I couldn't watch fucking
see, I love
Twin
that.
Peaks.
Like, I love being able to fucking sit around with my wife and just sit there and be like, do you think fucking that it was this?
Yeah, I can tell this isn't your
see,
issue with the
I,
movie.
Shit.
That it's,
yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah, I don't need it to be like that. I don't need a fucking bow, but it's like, I at the end was like, oh, okay. It was, you know,
you
like, okay, like
good.
I pointed out to you, right? One of my favorite paintings is fucking Lament for Icarus. It's like, it's that fucking arrogance. You got too close to the sun, right? And they're like, oh yeah, that's how you get out. A lot of people try. No one's ever done it. And he's like, fuck it, I'm going to try.
I'm in. I'm
like, okay, so it's Lament for Icarus again.
Well, that's...
It's your fine art.
Because Icarus is a dumb.
You want to get there, but you can't.
Yeah. That's why you have lament for him, because he's fucking dumb. Like,
you want to get there like, in the opposite direction, which is the same direction.
But it's like you made him the biggest. You made him as glorious.
Is that what you're doing?
Built him up, and then you expect him not to do that?
So you're trying to make a good movie, and you make a shitty movie, and that's the way you get to making a good movie?
You could argue. I don't get this.
I'm too simple for that.
No. All of this stuff going on right now is why he made the movie. I fucking swear to God, this is exactly why. He didn't make it so people could love it. He made it so we're talking.
Look how much we've been talking about this. Well, that's because that's kind of like our job. But he reminded us of that before the movie even started. He's like, yeah, this is a movie that's kind of meant to be digested over like a few days or a week or a month. I don't fucking know. I don't even know what happens.
You know what?
It's some shit you say. Some ridiculous shit you
he's
say.
He's like, first
well,
time I've already
you
got your
when people
you,
are like,
got
your
money.
Movie doesn't make any fucking sense. It's like, you just have to digest
you just
it.
Don't get it.
You just don't get it. You don't see my vision. Yeah. Nah, dog, because I haven't taken that many fucking drugs.
That's not true.
That's not
drugs
true.
Drugs might have made that movie better.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. I was high as fuck. It was still boring.
I haven't fucking done drugs in years. And I definitely was like, I need to be fucked up for
right?
this. Why am I watching it like this?
Yeah, you know what? I felt like I was fucked up a couple times, which was really nice. I like when a movie can put me in that state of mind, dude. I felt that way at the end of Annihilation.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I felt like I was frying balls a for one. A good five fucking minutes.
Dude, I felt You're that like, way I'm during
fried
Lord
balls
of the Rings.
Well, I'm fucking sober, so it was like, wow, this is great.
All right, well, let's wrap this motherfucker up. I think that even if you don't feel like you're gonna like this movie, I think it's worth a watch. I would still watch it, you know. I would recommend this movie to like horror fans and people that like art movies, I guess.
I think it's more an art movie with like horror things sprinkled in. And it's not like horror in the slasher sense or anything like that, but there's some gory shit thrown in there. Like he likes to do or whatever. I still would watch it as well, even if I wasn't on this thing and watched it with you guys and I listened to your podcast later and been, like when I paint, that's when I listen to your guys' podcast when I'm doing paintings or building tattoo machines. And if I would have heard you guys talk all the same shit that you're talking about it, I still would go and watch it.
I think it needs to be watched.
Well, this might surprise you given everything I've said about it. I wouldn't recommend it to most people. For what?
No, I wouldn't either.
Yeah. If you're curious, absolutely.
I wouldn't recommend it to like my mom or something. But
oh god, my mom would have an actual like. Yeah. She would need to
my
like.
My mom would punch me like, "Why is your telling me to fucking watch that?"
She would need to fucking exercise herself.
I have a soft spot for stuff like this because in one way it seems too artsy for the horror crowd, and it seems too horror-y for the artsy crowd. So I have a soft spot for shit like that just because, even if it's not good.
So in other words, nobody will like this.
No, it's like it's like fucking I like a band King Crimson, right? At the time, they were too heavy for the fucking hippies, and they were too brainy for Black Sabbath crowd. I like that. It's a niche. It's a niche fucking group that likes this.
I really like that.
Right. So that doesn't mean this movie's good. It doesn't even mean it's in the fucking club, but it might be. I'm not sure yet. There's parts of it that took me there for that little niche.
All right.
But I wouldn't recommend it for most people. They'd be bored out of their fucking mind.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
See it if you want. Just don't believe the hype.
What the hell are we watching next week?
We're still waiting to find that out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited for next week.
Turk.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
We love to have you, dude. Can you please let us know where we can find you?
You can find me at my tattoo shop, Left Hand Black, on 1947 Fern Street, San Diego, California, online, lhblk.com.
Excellent. Matt Smith, what's the links, my dude?
You can find us at whogoestherepodcast.com, because most people don't know that's a thing, but that's where all of our episodes are. You can find us on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch.
Grindr.
At Who Goes Their Podcast. And Letterboxd and Twitter at Who Goes Their Pod. George is on Bumble.
Totally on Bumble.
Yeah.
I don't even know what a Bumble is.
It's like a Tinder, but women reply first.
Isn't Bumble the fucking thing from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Was it?
Abominable Snowman.
Oh, the Abumbable Snowman.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
This is Rhett.
And Turk.
Bye, Turk.
Bye.
I hate your fucking guts, dummies.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.